All right, welcome back to another Uncommon podcast. And I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and he's like, man, you know, Travis Kelce and his brother, I think it's like Jason Kelce, was a center for the Eagles. He's like, man, they're hilarious on that podcast. And I'm like, well, I want to be hilarious on ours. We don't get a chance to do that kind of thing. So we'll have to save the knock-knock jokes for another time.
It's like when someone's like, oh, you're funny? Tell me a joke. And then every joke leaves your brain at that moment kind of thing.
Always have one canned. It's really lame, but just in case. Well, this episode is going to be focusing on life transitions. We saw that up ahead is graduation. And then that usually is a springboard to things like going off to college or graduating college, starting a career. Sometimes it's across the country moves and that kind of thing. So we thought it'd be good to do something around transitions of life this month, getting us prepared for what's coming up, because change is a coming.
And like a freight train with no stops.
Yes, exactly. So I just work on stats this time, trying to get some good stats for us. And so, you know, with change comes coping mechanisms. And so you will see that terminology repeated often during these next two podcasts. So 77% of Americans have used addictive behaviors or unhealthy coping mechanisms to manage their mental health or transitions in life, according to Myriad Genetics nationwide survey. Try to get something that was a little more well-known or at least had some data to it. And some of the things they listed were alcohol, drugs, gambling, food, sleeping, exercise, digital behavior, binge watching, or shopping.
Yeah, I think it's always interesting that people tend to focus a lot on like the harder stuff, right? Like alcohol, gambling, drugs, but you know, digital presence, like scrolling on your phone, like doom scrolling through TikTok, or even exercise. I'm looking at you, CrossFit nut jobs. people tend to throw themselves into activities that basically shut your brain off.
Sure.
Like one of the big indicators for like maybe depression is, one of them is rewatching something like a lot, like if you like almost like a comfort show.
Oh, sure.
Like if you're going through a really depressive episode, people tend to rewatch a singular movie over and over again to relive those moments in time back when you weren't feeling that way.
Sure, sure.
And so not all the time, but that can be an indicator of having a depressive episode. I thought that was interesting because we always talk about our comfort shows together a lot. So
I'm a mashed potato, right? MASH was like very, very popular when we were kids, mom and I. And so every night at 10:35, they'd have reruns of MASH. And so, you know, it came around in the 70s and early 80s, but when we were dating, it was always on repeat. And so many times we would end our dates, watch MASH and not go home. And so it became a thing that I've watched MASH probably the whole series 70 times. I mean, it's crazy. Right now, I'm on a tear of the Andy Griffith Show. I've watched that at least 3 or 4 times through. I don't. Now, it's not around depression, I don't think, but I could see how that could easily be like, those were the days when things were much simpler, you know, and so
that definitely can lead to this change thing, right? So going back in time to, I mean, that's the nostalgia, right? Like going back to time when things were, everyone knew what was going on and change wasn't happening.
So. Right. Sidebar, if you are listening to this and you have a show or a movie that you watch for comfort, put it in the comments below. All right, so our first segment is the leap of faith from college to career. And it's funny, since we've been doing this, and I've watched you grow from all through school and then college and then married kind of thing, and just seeing you experience life, your own life and your married life, but also friends going through or maybe not going through this same thing, you probably have a different perspective now than you did even just like 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah, we just recently put an offer on the house, and so we're filling out all the files.
Yeah. Hang on a second. Let me just clap for that. Sorry about that for your ears. That has been a long time coming.
Yeah, Lord probably got tired of us hearing us pray about that for a while. So, but having to fill out forms of like when I started working with you guys, and right. So that was 2018. So that is a long. And then I started working with you guys right around the time
June of 2018.
I came full time.
Yeah.
After college, I think I started working during college, so probably like six years out on the other side of college.
Sure.
And I look at that experience vastly differently than even just last time we did a series on this topic of college to career.
Right. And that was just August, September range?
Yeah. I think so much depends on who you involve yourself with. Like our Bible study group, I think like 3 or 4 couples in our group are pregnant right now, having their first child or the second child. And then we have other couples who are also looking to move and either selling their home to go rent somewhere or rent a home to go buy kind of thing. And I was talking to someone about they go to a college group every once in a while, kind of just mentoring those people.
Right.
And I joke with them as like, how does it feel to look at kids that are going through college and their woes compared to your woes as someone on the other side of that? Mm-hmm. And we were joking about the fact that it always feels like the world is ending in those moments. Like when you know, the exam's coming up, you know, that's your, you know, big hill to climb, right?
Sure.
No amount of people telling you from the other side going, that test is meaningless once you get to the outside world and tax season comes. That's your next hill, right? And so, not to diminish those moments you're going through in those time frames. Those are definitely big moments that you have to worry about as an individual. But I find solace in now knowing and looking back on that things I'm going through in this moment of my life, there will be more things down the road that will trump this, and just to let them come as they go kind of thing. So, but yeah, definitely looking back now, having more years under my belt, college just feels like a lifetime ago at this point.
Yeah, I forget what movie it was, but it was the son was talking to his dad and something like that, and he said, "Man, this is the worst day of my life." And the dad's like, "Oh, baby, you're gonna have a lot worse days than this." That comforting thought, you know, Jesus talked about trials and tribulations. Mm-hmm. And days are full of kind of worry and stress. So as we kind of turn this toward the Bible, there are definitely stories that we can point to for transitions. Mm. One was the story of Daniel transitioning to serving in Babylon. May not have been his first choice. Did kind of go the way he wanted it to go. But the importance of seeking God's guidance in these moments of going from college to career is, I think, paramount, because we struggle because, one, everybody would probably think it'd be so much easier if I just knew the future. Wrong. You do not want to know the future. I don't want to know the future. Mm-hmm. Absolutely not. Because if I told you you had 13 days to live, you would then live your life quite differently.
Yeah.
Or that you were, I don't know, getting into a car wreck 18 months from now kind of thing. You would never want to know your future. And so I think praying to God in the moments is the best plan of attack. Mm. And understanding, like you said, that while many topics and issues and challenges feel like it is the absolute worst thing I'll ever go through, it is just temporary. Usually it's just temporary, and things will change and possibly get better. And so, but everybody goes through this stuff. And if you're going from college to career, setting an expectation of you're just starting to go through some things. Because as you were going through, you and I went to your house for the inspection. Mm-hmm. and that whole thing. And we came back and I said, you just opened another door into adulthood. How do you like that?
Yeah. You're like, oh, it's expensive.
It's an expensive door.
Yeah. I think there's a certain point too, and we've kind of hit this with the house at this point, cause we've been looking for 3 years now, that, I have to rely on the fact that God's gotten me this far and sure. these things that I have to trust in him to get me through the rest of it. Right. Sure. And to be very truthful in that, I think God kind of put us through that path for me to learn that, because sure. sometimes God puts us through these kind of things so that we can learn to rely on him more.
Yeah. And there's things that he cannot move in our lives sometimes until we actually mature, grow, seek him, pray about it. Paul said, you know, I'm giving you milk right now because you're not ready for meat, so to speak. And so I think many times, you know, we pray for things that may be a little bit above our pay grade.
Yeah.
And we think, I can handle that. I want a house.
Yeah.
You think you're not mature enough for a house, right. or you might be ready financially for a house, mm-hmm. or the house that I want for you is not there yet.
Yeah.
And so God's timing is not our timing, but his timing is perfect.
Right. I love the myriad of stories in the Bible that talk about, you know, having to rely on God. I mean, I talk about Daniel with Babylon. I love the one about Jonah and the whale, about God calls him to this career of going to this place, and Jonah's like, I ain't doing that. And then the Lord has to step in and be like, well, I'm not repeating myself a second time kind of thing. So, there's never a moment where, I mean, you may be in a situation that you like, man, I have to get a job at McDonald's just to kind of pay those bills. And, you know, that is a season.
Yeah.
But I think it's good to note that even in those times where you may be looking for a career elsewhere entirely. I mean, many people that graduated college and they're not even using their degree, they're wanting to do something else. Like,
sure.
So flipping burgers may not be your ideal job, or even maybe you've got a degree in X thing and you're like, I'm doing that and I hate it. I want to go do something else.
Right.
That you just need to kind of pray to God and hope that, rely on his sufficiency in that to get to wherever God wants you to go. Because you may want that. And maybe God's like, well, hey, I don't want you over there. I have something else in store for you over here. And I'm sure Jonah didn't think taking the whale taxi was going to be a great idea.
And that 3-day cruise is rough. and also, I think, and I want to challenge all the people out there that, you know, are just graduating or get ready to graduate college, or you graduated college and you're still kind of in the same place you were a couple of years ago. It's time to move on. It is time to move on to the next step of your journey. Because we have a masterclass called Adulthood Calling for this very reason. And yeah, it's easy to live with our parents for a little bit, and they make all the meals and they clean the house and, you know, all the bills go through them, and you're kind of like, you know, dealing with your own stuff. Your money's a little more discretionary, and you're doing yourself a disservice, I think, that's your long range plans, because you do need to, we all need to mature, and each one matures differently, obviously, but this is your challenge. This is my challenge. It's time to grow up.
I know that I made a huge leap in maturity, both spiritually and mentally, and just in my life when I moved out from you guys, just because I was in charge of a lot more.
Yeah.
And just the involvement of what that means of, I mean, I moved out during COVID, so that kind of a weird time frame where time means nothing in the epidemic. But, you know, there was like, hey, there's no one here to make sure I go to bed at a specific time. And it was my version of college for a little bit there, because I stayed home with you guys. So, you know, I still had, you know, curfew kind of thing. But once you start accepting those pieces of, well, I need to mow the grass, I need to fix the cabinetry in the kitchen, I need to go pay the bills for electricity, that kind of thing. Nothing more humbling than just seeing gas bill for your house come in and come out the door.
You're like, isn't someone going to take care of that?
You're like,
oh, wait, that's me. Oh,
use how much gas? That's it. But yeah, there's just so much maturity that happens, I think, once you're on your own. And that, you know, is the range of gambit, right? I mean, mm-hmm. I know for many people, maybe moving out is just not financially an option, and that's totally valid.
Sure, I get that. There are times when you got to come back to, you know, lean on someone. Mm-hmm. I don't know the lady's name, but it was a TikTok video, and she, you know, put it, you know, straight. She's like, no one is coming. No one's coming to push you.
Yeah.
If you are where you are by your own choices, knowing that you need to move on mm-hmm. in life and grow, you're going to be there a while because no one is coming to, oh, come on, man, let's do this together and let's get going. We need to grow. Because one, you're going to be like, you know, I don't want to grow.
Right.
If I grow, then I got to start paying bills or I got to go do this or whatever. So she was very blunt about, you want to stay there, you're going to stay there.
Yeah, I mean, that's why it's so important to have an accountability partner that can speak into your life and that kind of thing. Yeah. Having someone to have that kind of like, quote unquote, hunting license for your life where it's like, hey, keep me honest when it comes to financial responsibilities or my walk with Christ or, you know, whatever, you know, it's your words or whatever kind of thing, because we are our own worst enemy when it comes to this kind of stuff. And so having someone in our life that can be that for us, you know, being in the Word, you know, as much as possible, but also, and we talk about this a lot about goals versus ideals, where it's like, you need to set like timelines for these things. Goals versus dreams. Sorry. Yeah. Cause the idea of like, I want to get out of my parents' house, or I want to stop cursing like a sailor, or I want to save 10 grand in the bank. Those are just, they're not going to get you anywhere. Unless
those are great sentences.
Right. Yeah.
How are you going to get there? Oh, I have no idea.
Yeah. I can say, I want to lose 30 pounds and then go get myself a McDonald's at the end of this podcast and be like, I'll start tomorrow. Unless there's a timeline or some kind of, you know, external piece for most people. I mean, sometimes there's people out there that are very self-disciplined that can accomplish that. But even if you are, I would recommend doing, you know, accountability partner or timeline to keep yourself honest with yourself when it comes to making progress. Because at the end of the day, real progress is just looking at the person you were yesterday and making sure you're better than them.
Yeah, I'm going to say it's not a competition with someone else. It's a competition of who you were yesterday.
Yeah. So and then that goes back to the challenge. If you're the same person you were, you know, 5-10 years ago, I'd take a hard look and reexamine your life.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I know people that they're in the same place. They're, you know, in their 20s, 30s, 70s. I mean, age is not a factor into maturity.
Yes.
So our verse for this area is Proverbs 3:5-6.
One of my favorites. We prayed this a lot when it came to house stuff.
Yep.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. Mm.
My own understanding. Mm. In my own understanding, I am awesome. I get everything right. Hey, so we wanted to mention a couple things to you on the way out of this segment. Memberships. If you are not a member of Uncommon yet, visit uncommon.org. Check out our membership options. We have a monthly membership. There's an annual and there's a lifetime. Check out that. Also, look at our library of content. You get access to that library with your memberships. And so stay tuned for a couple of sponsors that we appreciate for sponsoring financially Uncommon in our podcast. Uncommon would like to thank today's sponsor. At Sterling Technology Solutions, our mission is to help businesses in North Carolina maximize their profitability and success through our innovative managed IT services. All right, welcome back to our second segment of our life transitions. The first one was from college to career. Mm. All those young whippersnappers who still have good knees. I say that because I started my pickleball career.
Short-lived.
And 8 points into my career, I took a header into the cement, and bruised or fractured some ribs. This was about this Saturday would be 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So I think I'm doing pretty good overall. that first week, gingerly. That was what I was.
That was the word of the week.
Easy going. So our this segment here is Two Becoming One, the journey into marriage. So if you have completed our first segment, welcome to your next destination. It's time to get married. It's like, I just got out of my parents' house. Goodness.
Like the game of life board game. You cover college and like two spaces, marriage, and then two spaces, kids.
Go directly to marriage. Okay, so the pain point here, obviously, is the transition to marriage is a joyful yet complicated journey, right? And so we're talking about how couples ground their relationship in faith. And so one of the stats that I ran across here was from the Southern Baptist Convention. It said less than 1% of couples who pray together daily end in divorce. Less than 1%.
Yeah. That's...
And so the number one prayer request we get by far, and it's not even close, is about divorce, dysfunctional marriage, separation, that type of thing. And someone reaches out and they'll say, kind of like Adam, that woman, she did this. Can you believe that? I'm over here being awesome. She is horrible. And so we have a standard set of questions we ask, like, well, one of you both believers, you both attend church, do you read your Bibles, do you pray together, do you discuss your faith with each other, do you encourage each other, all these things. We never hear back, maybe once out of all those, because we're hearing one side of the conversation.
Right.
We're not counselors. We're not going to roll out the sofa for you guys to stretch out on and talk about it.
Get the clipboard out and the glasses.
Yeah, right. I don't get paid for that. But we do like to ask the question and say, well, I mean, would you know, are these things happening? And if they are, if you yes, all these here, then maybe counseling is something you need.
Yeah.
But as soon as they read those questions, they realize that maybe we're not doing that.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it, or she's not doing it, or we're not doing it. So some of the talking points are the significance of a Christ-centered marriage. Now, when you and Heather started dating, how did you guys approach your faith with each other?
I think it was a little different because we kind of fast-tracked that a little bit because we had met each other in a Bible study group setting, so on campus. So that was kind of already the bonding point before us dating, and so that was very easy to talk about that afterwards. And we did marriage studies together up to us getting married. You know, I think it was like 10 things I wish I knew before I got married. And so that was kind of very, very common talking point in our dating kind of life. It's gotten much stronger after marriage just because of once you go through so many life events as a married couple, you know, there are definitely moments where, you know, you got to hold on to each other and hold on to God, you know, and that's all you can do, just the three of you.
Yep.
So I do think it's interesting to hear because I know there's some couples in our Bible study that the husband's quiet time and how he handles it is different than the wife's kind of how she handles quiet time because she wants to talk about her quiet time. He's like, I want nothing. I don't want to do that. I'll be alone. And so that because that was one of the prayer questions, like how do they combine or how do they merge that kind of quiet time together to be with each other when they're such different personality styles? Thankfully, both me and my wife are very much introverts. So us being quiet with each other is pretty standard. But
if I can see it now, both of you sitting on a sofa and one turns to the other, get ready to speak, and the other one turns back and goes, shh.
Quiet. The sign's on.
Shh. It's not talking library hour.
So, yeah, I think ours is a little different than probably most people's interaction with that. I do find our church challenged us a while back about the idea of, like, when you drive home from church after you finish up church, you know, just talking about what went on in their service, what did they take away from it.
Right.
I think that's really sparked a lot of good conversations in our car ride home for us, and kind of opened some doors that maybe we hadn't talked about previously.
Sure.
So that's a good tactic, you know, as long as you are attending a church, and if you're not, should be, you find a church home, that's where you start, kind of thing. So,
yeah.
But I think it can be difficult too, if it's not, like, if you grew up in a household that maybe didn't talk about your faith a lot, like,
right.
If it was very like, you know, we don't talk about it, we're Christians, but we don't talk about it here in the house, we'll go to church on Sunday, kind of thing. So I think that can be difficult, but I think the rewards greatly outweigh the concerns when it comes to talking about your faith, because, you know, the Bible has so many great examples of what love should be. So when you're talking about your faith, you're just reinforcing that in your lives as a married couple.
We brought someone to church with us a while back, and it was, you know, we attend the same church, and they were saying, hey, when you go home, talk about it on the way home, kind of thing. And so we got in the vehicle and we asked, chimed in that, and Dana chimed in, and then we asked the other person, you know, what they thought of that. They wanted to share about that, and they're like, no. And then it just kind of hung in the air for a little bit, and then you could tell that they were like, well, I know what I should do, but I don't. You could tell this person is not down with talking about their faith. If you are married and you cannot talk about your faith with each other, you have a faith problem.
Yeah.
And so I think, we have a couple of different resources for first-time marriage. We call MITs, Men in Training, and we have one called First Timers Club. When you first get married, you first... tagline is buckle up. or your first time you have a child, first child kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And so it's important to keep God at the center of your marriage. And when you talk about me and Heather being both introverts, mom and I, the epitome of waffles and spaghetti, right? Boxes and the spaghetti thing. I get up early, do my lesson, and then I'm kind of done for the day, unless I'm kind of like writing or reading or listening to music or something. We talk about something.
Yeah.
Mom tends to start hers at, I don't know, like around 8, and it feels like she never stops. It just goes and on and on. And so every time I turn around, because she works to my right, 4 feet away, and I look over and I'm like, Are you doing another devotion? Or are you still doing the same devotion? What are you doing over there? And so I think it's important for a married couple, especially if they're just starting out or if you just got married. It's relevant what your age you are, but if you're just getting married, I think it's important to keep God at the center of that. And I would do some marriage studies.
Yes.
I would do, goodness, I would do a dozen marriage studies because each one's going to be a little bit different, mostly the same, but a little bit different to help you communicate with each other better, as well as kind of unlock some of those doors and be open with your faith and how you communicate and all that.
Yeah, I think having the book study, I think, is a great way to facilitate those conversations, because it doesn't make someone feel like the quote-unquote bad guy for bringing it up, you know? And it sparked conversation that he maybe not have. And I always point to the example of the book that we read right before for our marriage counseling before we got married, talked about a lot about, like, one whole chapter was dedicated to, like, you are the byproduct of your parents, and how you view their relationship impacts how you view your relationship in the future and the expectations that come along with that.
Yeah.
And one of the examples he gave was the husband grew up where his family would just take the car to get car washed on the weekends. Pay $5, just get it washed. The wife came from a family that took their car and they washed it themselves to save the money. So she viewed every time he took it to the car wash as you're being very loose with your money. And he's like, well, I'd rather spend time with you than have to do this myself.
Sure.
And it's $5. What do you mean? So it was a huge point of contention. And it was just because of how they viewed the family kind of thing. And it's a conversation that sparked a lot of conversations with me and Heather about how did you view chores growing up? Like, how did you view your mom and dad handling that? Is there an expectation there? Yeah. Is that a correct or wrong expectation for me?
Sure.
Finances, family, like, how do you want to parent? All that kind of stuff. And a lot of that was sparked just from that one chapter. And what we did, and we found this was really helpful, was we would take turns reading it back and forth to each other.
Yeah.
And so I would read a chapter, and then she would read a chapter. And we just kind of input when we were reading it. And that helped a lot. I mean, some couples may want to go kind of squirrel away, read it, make notes, and come together. But you know, that'll take some trial and error on your part as a couple. But we found communicating and reading it together was very helpful in the moment, just to kind of spark that conversation of would I have thought to talk about that kind of conversation unprompted by the book? Probably not. And then that could be a minefield you avoid in the future.
Yeah, I think reading it together is a great technique because, like you said, it takes away the, you know, well, what'd you get out of that right there? You know, right. Like, oh, yeah, I got out of it, you know, like I should pray more kind of thing.
Church answers.
Church answers kind of thing. And it's like, oh, what do you think of, like, when they said about, like, you know, well, chores or money, or possessions? Oh, I must have missed that thing. Mm-hmm. So when you're reading it together, there's no not getting it.
Yeah.
So you can kind of, like, read that, not like you have an agenda to, like, you know, oh, see what this author
right,
said about you.
Not using it as a weapon.
Right, yeah. But just talking about, like, you know, okay, well, what are your thoughts about that? Mm-hmm. And so Mom and I have done probably 20 Bible studies or marriage studies throughout the years.
Yeah.
And it's always good as a refresher course
because
we tend to get a little loose sometimes with maybe communication or diligence. And so it's important to invest in a good foundation for your marriage, whether you are day one or 35, 40 years into marriage.
Right. I mean, those tools that you use are direct relation to that too, because over the years you may find new tools help you later on, or like things that we did in the beginning of our marriage probably would not help us very much now, four years into it kind of thing, and vice versa. So, you know, that evolves and changes as you change as a person, as they change as the person, and the relationship changes of, you know, maybe you have a kid in the way, and we're going to talk about the next section. But, you know, just always keeping up with that, because you know, you are not a stagnant individual, and neither is she. So, you know, always making sure to update that information in your head and having that kind of like always refreshing Rolodex of how do I communicate effectively and lovingly to my spouse.
If you use the terminology of communication effectively, I think you're probably halfway there. I mean, think of the person in your life, and this is everybody listening, us too. Think of a person that just really bad at communication. Mm. One, have they ever used the word communication? Let alone communicating effectively. So I think that if you can, I can work on my communication, boy, that really helps. Because obviously you can't change a person. You can only change yourself. And if we both work on our communication, that is fantastic. And so after we read our verse, I'm going to give you some resources for that. So our verse in this section is Ephesians 5:25.
We use this a lot on the website. Husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her.
Hmm. So some of the resources, I've mentioned that we have some for the first time club, the first time married, first time parent, that type of thing. But we have a couple other resources for you, for the ones that those old vets of four years married and above. We have some devotions called, one's called As One, one's called Husbands Defined, and one of my personal favorites is called Code Purple. Mm. It's about communication of the pink woman and the blue man working on communication. And so we also have an original called Marriage Matters. And so as you can see, we have a ton of content around the topics of husbands, dads, and leaders, and everything of the sphere of everything around that topic.
Yeah.
Problem is, you can only get to some of this content if you have a membership.
Right.
The devotions, free, they're out there. But things like the originals, workbooks, masterclass stuff, that's all for members.
Yeah, and that's the benefit of becoming a member, is getting access to our library as well as future content, and then the vaulted content, because we have so much that I challenge you, you probably have a hard time finding something in our catalog that we do not cover at this point.
Now, you mentioned vault. We like Disney, we put things in the vault. I didn't know we had a vault. Oh, that's good. Okay. So that's our segment for the married couple's journey into marriage. Stay tuned to some of our other sponsors that are graciously funding Uncommon. We never take that for granted. And if you are looking to become a sponsor to get mentioned on our podcast, on social, on our newsletter, and our website, please contact us today. Uncommon would like to thank today's sponsor. Cole & Company looks to impact the lives of all they touch so they can discover their greatest potential. They seek to coach clients to clarity and reach their version of success. Visit them at cole-cpa.com. All right, welcome back to our last segment of our first podcast on life transitions. This one is Blessed with Children, Embracing Parenthood. Or as we like to call it, the difficult years. So parenting is one of life's greatest blessings and one of the most challenging jobs you'll ever have. You know, how can we raise a child in faith in today's world? That is a question that I'm sure a lot of parents have asked throughout the generations.
Yeah.
Do I want to bring a child into this world? Because it hasn't gotten better.
No.
You know, say you said this 1947, whatever, that, you know. I don't think it's gotten better. Like, whew, you know, remember the 40s were horrible. But the, but the 90s, man, that's when things got good for having babies. Right. You know? So the did you know, engaging in family devotions and attending church strengthens the family's spiritual bond. They say 30% attend church together, according to ourchurchvisitor.com. So 30% of families attend church together.
Yeah, I forget the exact numbers. I know it's in the 90%, but I love the it's the stat on our website about if the father is the one who instigates going to church, the family is more likely to stay together and be faith-driven as opposed to if the mother is the focus. And so you can see there's such a huge you know, responsibility as the head of the household and then as, you know, the man of the house kind of thing to lead your family in, you know, in the Bible and going to church in that faith-based piece, because, you know, there's plenty of verses in the Bible where we are called to be that to those people around us.
It's funny you mentioned that stat because I just read an article about that being a myth.
Really?
Yes, because one, it kind of puts so much of the emphasis on, well, if the dad does it, then everybody's going to do it. Whereas think of the family, a family, sometimes the wife is, I mean, the rock.
Yeah.
I mean, mom led me to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you start thinking about families and maybe the wife is the more one, you know, in tune to her faith with Christ,
mm-hmm.
it's kind of like, I don't know, just kind of like if the article was talking about how it's so a disproportionate number.
Yeah.
Because it was like a 93 for the men. High, yeah. It was like 30 or 17 for the wife and like 3 for the kids.
Yeah.
And so when you think about that, you're like, well.
Yeah, it's pretty disparaging. What was the quote from, is it My Big Fat Greek Wedding, where the mom's talking to the daughter-in-law and she's like, the man's the head of the household, but the woman's the neck, and she turns the head where she wants.
Yes, yes.
About two people got that reference, I think.
Yeah, exactly. You and me. So I think what the point of that stat, no matter what it is, because I think it's a little bit unverified, is if the family goes to church or reads their Bible, prays together, he does devotions, seeks God, and puts Christ in their lives, that makes for a really powerful family dynamic.
Right. Well, when you make faith a common household, you change it from just this mythical kind of oh, faith is out there, and make it into a verb of something you act out on a daily basis, I think that changes a lot of people's perspectives, because, like I said before, is if you grew up in a household where faith and Christianity was just kind of like, well, we go to Sunday, we go to Wednesday night Bible study, we don't talk about it besides those 2 days.
Oh, yeah.
Then this is going to be really hard for you. And this may be a situation where you want to break that chain as starting your own family and be like, hey, I grew up in an environment that didn't do this. I want to make that flourish in our household, kind of thing. Like, there's always something that you look at from your parents' perspective that they did amazing for you, and some things you're like, hey, I want to change that.
Oh, sure, sure. We see the usual is the pendulum.
Yeah.
I never got ice cream when I was a child, so consequently, I'm 700 pounds, and I live behind a Baskin-Robbins. You know, learning from your parents who probably, I'm say probably, did the best they could. Mm. Not all of them do.
Yeah.
Some just don't have it. But learning from what they did well, what they didn't do well, and adjusting accordingly, I'm a firm believer that function can come out of dysfunction.
Well, we talk about the importance that anti-role models have, as well as role models, a lot on this podcast about, you know, there are people around us. I mean, even the Bible, the people we look at and go, I don't want to be like that guy. And those warning tales and those scary like results of people making bad decisions can be, well, that's, I mean, there's a reason Scare Straight was a TV show for a while of them scaring kids like crazy. So, you know, having people that you can go, man, I see how X person interacted with their kids and how that's impacted them later down the line, whether intentional or not intentional. Because sometimes, like you said, they're doing the best they can, and sometimes that's all they know.
Yeah.
And people, they just perpetuate, and that causes a chain reaction. It's up to you as the person next in line to find out if that's something you need to change about yourself.
Yeah. My parents' generation, I'm 55, so that generation before me, I don't think they spent a lot of time with self-help, growth, using the words, communicating effectively. Mm-hmm. I mean, they didn't do that. They're like, you know, I'm going to pour myself a scotch and bury my troubles, and we'll kind of do this tomorrow night too, you know.
I have a counseling session with Jack Daniels later. And
him and Jim Beam, and so... So I think that, you know, as the role of parents as spiritual leaders in the home is a very important role.
Yeah.
And I could say most of them, if not all of them, are woefully unprepared to be that leader. And it requires growth and maturity and training to be that in your house. If you want respect, you got to earn that.
Yeah.
You can't just be, well, I'm the dad. Well, I'm the mom. Ignore me snorting coke. You got to respect me.
Yeah.
That's hard to sell to a child because they eventually grow to an age of discernment and they see all the flaws.
Yeah.
Every parent has flaws. Every parent will have flaws. It's how they try to cover that, how they try to learn from that. And so I think, like you said, you know, you can learn from the good and bad from your parents to become a good or bad parent yourself.
Yeah.
And so balancing discipline with love is a great example of that Jesus did as well. And encouragement in resources around Christian parenting in the different stages of life. And so we have a ton of content around the different stages of life. And one of them is a kind of a, I mean, we developed this. I thought it was kind of a hidden gem. It's our talking points. It's called Good Talks. And they are conversational questions with a scripture focus around topics, talking to, you know, from the, when it's the parent second section, and each one has their own groupings, husbands, dads, and leaders. For the dads, we did a range of, you're talking to maybe a child, a toddler, mm-hmm. and you're talking to maybe a tween or a teen, mm-hmm. and then you're talking to an adult kind of thing. Because, you know, sometimes guys just, you know, like sports and weather and women. And that's, they only have a couple of topics to talk about. So this gives a great talking point. So that's on our website for sure. So I think it's important for us to work on our roles, our positions as parents, because how you parent your child, that's the weird thing, how you parent your child when they're born changes daily as they get older, because yeah. they don't need you to be parenting that way, you know, 5 years from now. Mm-hmm. And if you are the same parent at 5 years old that you are when they're 15 or 25, you are going to be in trouble.
Yeah.
You may be in trouble with that, because they expect different things from you at those ages. Mm-hmm. And if you're not growing and trying to seek and help them and where they are, I think you're doing you and them a disservice.
Well, I think you can see that's the common string throughout all of these things of going from college to career, marriage, mm-hmm. and parenting, is if you are not being intentional about growing in your faith, in your maturity, in whatever, life will leave you behind. Whether yes. it is your career, you will never get there. If it's marriage, you'll never find someone. Or parenting, and you won't have that relationship with them when they're older. Mm. You need to be growing just the same way they're growing and the people around you are growing, because, I mean, I challenge you this. You as a person, talk to someone who's a decade younger than you and see how different that feels. Like, if you can you right. talk to someone who's like a decade younger to you with the exact same problems you're having, and they're going to look at you like you're insane. And so some of this happened naturally. Some of it has to be intentional. I mean, we try to, you and I both try to read as many books as we can on different topics to well-round ourselves and grow.
Yeah.
And try to talk about it to kind of help that knowledge lodge in yourself. And, you know, that may be something for you to look at as a person to say, I'm not good at blank. I'm going to go read about blank and maybe pick up some tools here and there.
Yeah, sure.
Or, you know, hey, I'm really crappy with my money. I'm going to try to be better about that and more intentional. And so I think at the end of the day, this starts with self-reflection a lot and yeah. you know, prayer and being very, very open and honest with yourself. Maybe having, you know, an accountability partner have that kind of conversation with you. Say, where am I lacking in my life and where do I need to grow and mature
yeah.
to be ready for those next stages? Because I can tell you with maturity, if you are mature or if you are well-prepared and well-rounded in maturity for that next stage of life, it's not going to hit you like a ton of bricks.
Ooh.
Nearly as hard if you were unprepared.
Yeah, I think that if, you know, that I always laugh at that, what to expect when you're expecting.
Mm-hmm.
That could be a one-page thing, you know, sarcastically, be like, open it up, problems, the end. Oh, no. Yeah, I think spending time educating yourself and seeking God, wisdom, my number one prayer, is very, very beneficial to the growth and maturity of every person out there. And so our verse in this section is Proverbs 22:6. Start children off on the way they should go, and even when they're old, they will not turn from it. When they're old, he's talking about me. So we have a couple things for you. We've mentioned in our other segments some resources. One of them is a great resource. It's an interactive workbook called Becoming a Praying Husband. Mm-hmm. And so that is a great way to grow in your walk for your wife and your children. And so in the last challenge we have for you is engage with us. Mm-hmm. We put these podcasts together, put these, you know, devotions and all these resources kind of thing. And the platforms are going to work against us, right? Mm-hmm. Facebook is going to not show our post to most of our audience. So you're going to have to want to seek us out. Now, if you follow us on social or you sign up for a newsletter, we assume that you are interested in Uncommon. So we would ask you to engage with us. So we're doing our best to engage with you. Leave comments to these podcasts, share them with someone. And so, get involved with us as we help encourage you to get involved with your walk with Christ. Mm. So, as we say, if you're going to be something, be uncommon.